Appreciate the ladies who are caring for them and teaching them. It's a real privilege for us to be able to share the gospel with children. It really is, because it gives them a chance to get started right in life. Now, the title for this message, if you've seen it in the bulletin already, is Are You in Need of a Bath? And I'm not getting personal with anybody, okay? But you will understand in just a few minutes what I'm talking about. Ephesians 5, 24 through 27 says this, Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, during the time that the settlers were moving west, an interesting truth was learned. Indians could smell white people. They could smell them. They smelled different than the Indians. White people washed their clothes with homemade soap. Indians used natural products. White people ate food with artificial seasonings and ingredients that were not indigenous to the area, and this permeated their bodies, and the Indians could smell them. They smelled different from an Indian. You know, all of us have experienced times when we have worked hard, when it's been hot. We have sweated. And sometimes, because we had done that, we might not have been too pleasant to be around. The solution was really simple. We took a bath, and we smelled better. When I was growing up on the farm, there were two jobs that I really hated. I don't know how many of you grew up on farms, but we had cows, we had pigs, we had chickens. It was just typical farm. Our cows, because this was in Michigan, our cows had to stay in the barn during the winter. That meant that somebody, and I was the one chosen, had to clean the barn every day. And when you do that, you take what you clean out of the barn, you put it on a big pile out back of the barn. Gets bigger the longer the winter. But doing that kind of work, the odor involved would get on you. So when I would go in the house, after doing that in the morning and in the afternoon before I went to school, my mother would say, Kenny, get upstairs and take a bath. And she would say one other thing. Don't bring those clothes in the house. Somebody had to do it. And because I was there, I got to do it. I hated that job. I'd come to the house smelling like the work I had just done. Now, the other job that I really hated was something that was a result of the first job I just did. Because in the spring, there's a big pile out back of the barn of everything I had cleaned out all winter. Now, for some of city slickers would think, okay, that is of little value to me. But to the farmer, that's gold. Because that gets spread back on the fields to fertilize the fields so that when you grow another crop, it will help the crop to germinate and do well. And so you have to put that big pile into what was a manure spreader, which we pulled with the tractor and go out over the fields and spread all of that out. And it took many trips, took all day long. And by the time you got done with that job, once again, you had some of that on you, and you smelled like the job you had just done. And guess what my mother told me when I would go to the house? Kenny, get upstairs and take a bath, and leave your clothes on the back porch. Now, if I had taken a bath and put those clothes back on, it wouldn't have helped much, would it? Well, there's a lesson in that for us, one that we need to look at. You might be asking about this time, what has this got to do with church? Well, how would you smell to God at the end of your average day, when the world that you're working in or moving through contaminates you? Would you smell to God like maybe I did to my mother? And in some cases, some of us might. My question is this: are we ready for a spiritual bath? Are we ready for a spiritual bath so that we are not a stench in the nostrils of a holy God? Can you imagine that there are Christians who would come to church to have a spiritual bath? That's why we come. We come to be cleansed, to fellowship together, to hear the word of God. And that's what Jesus said he cleanses the church with. He cleansing with the word. And you're going to hear the word this morning. You hear it every Sunday morning. You hear it every Sunday night. If you come back on Sunday night, you hear it on Wednesday night. And that is to cleanse us, because we need a spiritual cleansing from time to time. Because the filth of the world has an effect on our lives. If we put the same clothes on when we leave here, we go back to the same lifestyle and liking the same things of the world, it's like me putting the same clothes on after I'd finished the two jobs I hated. I want to look at two of the verses we just read in particular, because this is an important question, and it doesn't get asked very often. You probably never heard it from me. Do you need a spiritual bath? I do at times, and I just assume that everyone else does also. And so we want to look at two of the verses that we read just a minute ago and see how they might be applied to our lives. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy, that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Father, you have given us your word. You cleanse us with your word. Jesus said so. So this morning, as we look at your word, as we think about the implications that are contained in your word, Father, work in our hearts. May your Holy Spirit touch our hearts. May he cleanse our hearts where they need cleansing. And Father, may our lives please and glorify you. And we will praise you for what you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage in Ephesians that we have read is talking about the church of Jesus Christ and about how Jesus maintains his church. You and I do have a problem. We need a bath. Not just occasionally, but every day. Every day. Every day we sin by violating God's word. And that word tells us that the Holy Spirit uses the word to cleanse us. The problem is if we don't get into the word, if we don't do it on a daily basis, if we don't do that, we're not going to be cleansed. And the filth of the world is just going to build up and build up and build up in our lives. When we come to church on Sunday or Wednesday, we're coming to be bathed by the Word through the working of God's Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit lives in your heart if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if we, you and I, make an application of the word, we will be clean vessels for the Lord to use in the days to come. You know, a dirty vessel does not appeal to anybody. Go to a restaurant. Let them bring you a glass of water with lipstick on it. I don't know about you, but when I unwrap my silverware, I look at it. Is it clean or is it dirty? Does it have food on it that somebody else left? We don't like dirt, especially somebody else's. How do you think God feels about us and the dirt that gets into our lives? You know, every time we get involved in sin of whatever kind, it affects all of us. It does. It affects all of us. If another church, if its sin becomes public, as has happened recently, it affects us too. Because the people of the world say, oh, look, I told you they were a bunch of hypocrites. And they're talking about us. We had nothing to do with it. But we have to take some of the blame. You know, we need to take some time this morning to think about and to meditate upon a word that we don't hear very much in the church. The word that we want to think about is repentance. Repentance. You see, for the child of God, the follower of Jesus Christ, repentance is supposed to be a way of life. You and I are supposed to repent, turn away from our sin, to have a change of mind about sin. And repentance is a normal part of the Christian's life. When we discover that we are doing something that does not please God, when the Holy Spirit convicts us that we are not what God wants us to be or where God wants us to be, we need to repent. That's how we got saved. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago and he began to preach, what did he preach? Be baptized and repent. He brought the gospel of repentance. And it's not talked about very much in church anymore. But I want us to think about it. I want us to talk about it. I want us to get involved in it. Repentance is not some strange thing that imposes feelings of remorse or regret upon the soul. But repentance is a resource from God for us. God sends it to us. It's offered. We don't have to take it. But he wants to send it to us so that we can be a clean vessel for him. People, I want to tell you right now, repentance is not a bad thing. The Bible tells us of many occasions when even God himself repented of what he was going to do. And I will give you just a few examples of that. First one would be Genesis 6:6, and it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Another one is Exodus 32:14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." Another one, 1 Samuel 15:35, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." 2 Chronicles 21:15, "And God sent an angel into Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil." In Amos 7:3, it says, "The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord." So you see, even God himself repents. And God is the source of repentance. It doesn't come from within you and I. You and I have a sin nature. It doesn't want anything to do with repentance. But God sends it. In all of these examples we have just looked at, God repented. He changed his mind. He altered his actions or his intentions. Now, there was no evidence of secrecy in repentance. So many people are so ashamed that they won't come to the altar, even though the Holy Spirit is prompting them, repent. Repent of what you have done, or repent of what you have thought, or what you are doing. People don't want to come to the altar anymore. When God repented, he did it publicly. And there is a place for public repentance. Connie and I were ministering in a church after Hurricane Katrina down in Mississippi. And I had the privilege of preaching there several times in that particular church. And the first time that I did, and I gave an invitation at the end of the service, because there were a lot of folks, almost every single person in the congregation wound up at the altar. And I thought, man, they didn't understand. What have I said? How can this be? You know, they misunderstood me. But you know what? That church was used to repenting. The people of the church did repent of their wrongdoings, of their contamination by the world. And that was not unusual for that church. Almost every time an invitation was given, the whole church would show up. And yet God used that church. They had two local jails, two different cities, but they had a jail ministry. Tim used to have one till we obtained most of his time. They had a prison ministry. There was a state prison nearby. They had a rescue mission ministry. They saw people saved almost every week. They went out on visitation to visit families that didn't come to church, because they repented and were clean vessels. The Lord was able to use them to accomplish His will and purpose in that area. Repentance is part of the washing of water of the Word. And I'd like to follow up one more short verse. Matthew 3:18. When Jesus speaking says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." That's Matthew 3:8. Matthew 3:8. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." And I trust that you all understand this morning that what this verse is telling us. Fruit is the product of a life invested in the service of our Lord. Fruit is a product of the life invested for our Lord. Fruit comes in many forms. Some fruit is temporal, goes away quickly, such as good deeds, just because it's convenient, or expedient, with no thought of eternity in mind. But there is some other fruit that is eternal. Such as leading a soul to Jesus Christ, so they will not go to hell when they die. There are other kinds of eternal fruit: investing in the support of missionary family, helping a church to do something for the community, speaking an encouraging word in a timely manner, or even giving a helping hand to someone in need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not really what this verse is talking about. Fruit right for repentance would be sorrow for sin because it violates God's word. Fruit right for repentance would be sorrow for sin because it violates God's word. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance, and that not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." Another fruit right for repentance would be denying self in order to give glory to God for what He is actually doing. People who take credit for what God does, you and I can do nothing. We're just vessels. We're just tools in God's hand. And God has to be the one who accomplishes the job. And He is the one who accomplishes the job. Another fruit for repentance would be denying self, or the things that we desire, the things we want to do, in order to serve God the way He calls us or wants us to. There are times when you and I want to do things, and God may say through His Holy Spirit in our hearts, not audibly, but in our hearts, "I want you to do this," or "I don't want you to do that." That's where we have a problem. We have to repent of what we intended to do. It doesn't have to be wrong, but it might not be what God wants. And so repentance brings us closer to God. It makes us more usable because it washes us. It cleanses us of the effects of the world. Somehow, we've gotten the idea that repentance is something that is distasteful or even bad. And nothing that comes from God can be bad. And repentance does come from God. I want to assure you that. In fact, I want to show you in God's word that he tells us that he is the one who sends us repentance. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at will. That's 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. If you look at this passage of God's word, you will see that it is God that sends repentance. Repentance does not come from our own hearts, but God actually sends it to each one of us. Repentance is a good thing, yet we reject it. And we reject the thought of it as if it were an unclean thing. Our souls need an occasional spiritual bath. The bath is of repentance, to cleanse us and to make us more acceptable to our Heavenly Father. I imagine that there are times when you and I stink in the nostrils of God. We need the washing of the word to cleanse us for salvation. Yes, most of us have already been through that. And from time to time, we need to have the residue of the world washed off from us so that we can be better suited to serve a holy Heavenly Father, the way he wants us to. People, it's not about us. It's about God and his will for us as individuals. It all starts in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That comes through repentance. Now, I know I don't always give invitations at the end of each service, and I'm not going to this morning because of time restraints. But people, you will see me more often now, in the days to come, in the weeks to come, when we close a service, give an invitation. So if anyone wants to repent, there is no shame in being at these altars. And if you can't kneel, there's a front row wide open. We need repentance as a part of our life. Sometimes daily, sometimes more than that. But that's what God wants for us. Sometimes we do need a bath. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us your word. We are so grateful that we can accept the gift of repentance from thee. Father, help us to recognize it when you send it. Help us to utilize it when you send it, that we might be washed spiritually clean, that we might please you, that we might be used of you, to touch the lives of others around us. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do in our lives and in our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the gift of repentance when you send it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.